It's been 2 weeks since Cyclone Idai hit parts of Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. The UN calls it possibly the worst weather-related disaster in the history of the Southern Hemisphere. The international relief effort is struggling to shore up resources to meet need in the region. Joining us now is Desan Thathia, a reporter for ENCA, a South African news channel. He's been reporting from Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Desan, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So you were in Mozambique in the city of Beira, which took a direct hit during the storm. Tell us what you saw.
That's right. In fact, I just heard recently that we are being called the first 15 by the Mozambican government. And that's because I was with a group of rescuers from South Africa that had visited Mozambique during that time. In fact, we'd left to Mozambique before the cyclone hit and got there just around the time that it had struck Beira. When we got there, really, we didn't get the full extent of what had actually happened because it was quite dark at that time. We saw the destruction. We saw the roofs of houses. We saw the electricity poles that had fallen down. But it was really only the next morning when there was that threat of flooding that we realized that this is indeed a serious disaster.
And you returned a week after. What did you see then?
Well, I left, I think it was 7 or 8 days after the cyclone had hit. And by that point, fortunately, there was a lot of aid that was pouring in. There was another South African organization called the Gift of the Givers that had arrived in the city of Beira. There was the World Food Program, the UN was there, and everyone was trying to lend a hand. The problem was that the easiest way to get to these people that were trapped in floodwaters was via helicopter. And there was a shortage of helicopters. Now, the South African National Defense Force did also bring in two of its choppers to the area, which was then being used for rescues. And within the first 2 days of that happening, they'd already rescued about 200 to 300 people. But that was a small number compared to the thousands that were still trapped.
What do we know about other parts of the African continent that were affected by the storm?
Zimbabwe was also quite badly hit, as well as Malawi, but there were also reports that certain villages in Malawi had been prepared for the cyclone and did manage to survive most of it. Hardest hit, though, was Mozambique, was Beira. It was the Buzi district where we saw severe flooding. In Zimbabwe, there are still people that are missing at the moment. In fact, about 39 people were recovered, their bodies were recovered, but there are still tens others that are missing at the moment. And those operations to find their bodies are still ongoing. There, it seems that most of the problems had arose from structural collapses and people being trapped in this rubble. In Beira, you know, in contrast, it was the issue around the water and people living on floodplains. So as a result of that, they found themselves now trying to cling to the tops of trees and rooftops in order to escape the rising water.
We know that there is the potential for a cholera outbreak. What is the status of that? Where does sanitation efforts stand at this point?
Well, we've just received reports of the first cholera-related death in Mozambique. And sadly, it seems that that's going to be the first of many. We were talking to rescuers while we were there, and one of the problems that had arose then is that while people were trapped here, and it really was a cruel irony that they were trapped surrounded by water, but you would imagine that after a few days, thirst and hunger began to set in. Many of them had then ingested that water that they were surrounded in. In one case, hiding out at a sports stadium on the stands, people that close to each other, relieving themselves in the water, babies also catching certain diseases from being in that water. And this was also the same water that they were ingesting. And the wave of disease and the resultant effects of the flood are yet to come.
What do we know about the children who were affected by this? How many have been separated or orphaned at this point?
It's hard to put a number to that at the moment, but I can tell you this much, that when we saw that first group of children coming in on the South African National Defense Force helicopter, really 7 and 8 years old, some even toddlers, you could see then already that they'd lost their parents. In several cases, I saw little children, about 10 years old, having to look after their siblings because some parents had washed away. One child specifically told rescuers that she had watched her parents being pulled away in the floodwater. And in other cases, during rescue efforts, women and children were also prioritized. And there's no guarantee that by the time rescuers had gone back for their parents, that they would even be there.
What about international efforts at help? I know you mentioned that initially there were many of the players that we would expect to be there, but does the international community need to be doing more? And is there a sense that the government, local governments, are not going to be able to handle the magnitude of the tragedy?
As it stands, the local governments are not handling the extent of this problem. And it's because they don't have the resources of bigger countries, richer countries. There was also a sense, and you would have seen reports to this effect as well, that this being an African disaster was not taken as seriously as it would have been in other countries, in other parts of the world. But at the same time, I can tell you this much, that there has been an outpouring of aid. Just yesterday, the United States has also shipped some food supplies, about 2,000 tons of food supplies. So certainly there is help coming through. But considering the extent of the damage and the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people affected, the more help, the better, really.
And do we know what to expect next?
For now, the focus really remains on housing those that have been displaced, on treating those that are now sick as a result of the floods. There are bodies to be recovered. When the water subsides completely, that's when the true extent of the storm is going to be known. Beira, as a city, needs to be rebuilt. Its infrastructure is almost completely destroyed. The cell phone infrastructure, fortunately, is now up and running again. I did visit Beira one more time last week, and Beira is looking a lot better, but certainly there's going to be a lot of work to be done to get it back to the standards of living that people were used to.
Updates from the deadly cyclone Idai from Dason Thathia, a reporter with ENCA, a South African news channel. Dason, thanks again.
Only a pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.